Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest.
Hey, today's conversation is with the one and only Allie Casaza. Allie is on a mission to eradicate the hot mess mom stereotype by empowering other women. She has built a massive audience and a multi-million dollar online business based on her proven and family-oriented approach to minimalism. She's also the host of The Purpose Show, a chart-topping podcast, and the creator of multiple online programs and courses that garner tens of thousands of registrations each time she runs them. Her platforms continue to grow every day as more women discover her life-changing approach to creating an abundant life. Today, we are talking all about the tangible things that we can do to clean up and clear out our homes and our headspace, how we can take back the joy of motherhood and in turn, not be a slave to minimalism. I loved meeting and chatting with Allie, and I really think that you will too. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I'm sitting down with somebody like I admire in like the business industry and everything, but also like as a mom. And I feel like we're friends, and I feel like the fact that I am sitting in this conversation means, Allie, you have done a great job cultivating community on your corner of the internet. So you guys, welcome Allie Casaza to It's Time for Coffee. And Allie, hey, thank you for having coffee with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing space on your platform. I know like what it takes to build a podcast that people actually listen to, and for you to share that space with me means a lot to me. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. Your podcast is phenomenal. I really love it. I always gain stuff from it. So this just feels like, it just feels natural. Like I said, it feels like we're just sitting down. Like I finally get to like ask you the questions that like when I'm listening to your show that I'm like, but wait, what?
Yeah. Thank you. That means so much to me. I'm so excited.
So, okay, Allie, before we like jump into like Declutter Like a Mother, your new book, I want to hear your story first. Like you are known on the online space for like one really solid business in podcasting, but you are also known in the online space for like decluttering. Like that's kind of how you started minimalism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like where that's where everything initially started, and then it's just like grown and evolved from there.
Okay, but you have a funny story about starting out, so I want to hear this story.
Okay, so I was like in a really, really dark place. It was like, I was so desperate. I had like three really, really little kids that were all born like back to back. I have four now, but I hadn't had Emma yet. And it was just like literal survival mode. Like, how can I just like get through to the end of the day? Like, I felt like all I was doing was like reacting and like cleaning up after a life that I'd rather be like present for and living, but like I wasn't able to. And it was like, it was just absolutely like a shit show, and I didn't know how to get out of it. So I was just like in that place, like trying to make it through. And I actually had this like moment on this really, really bad day, especially bad day. I had this moment where it was like, I could just see myself literally like reacting to everything instead of ever feeling ahead of anything. And it was like, man, I've got these beautiful babies. I've got this life. I've got a supportive husband that I love. Like I have this house, and yet everything that's mundane is stealing all the good stuff, like the juice of life from me. Instead of like focusing on like what kind of mom I want to be, I'm just like snapping at toddlers. Like that's not aligned. That's not what I want. That's not really what I wanted, what I feel like I'm here to do. I had completely lost my sense of self. Like I didn't know who I was or what I even enjoyed doing anymore, because my whole life was just about like catching up, keeping up with this, the side note parts of life, like the house and the schedule and obligations. Like it was just so boring, and I wasn't here for it. I didn't want it. And so I saw that and I was like, okay, well, like, what would happen? I would just like, girl, I was so desperate. Like I got extreme. I was like, what would happen if there just wasn't any of this to even maintain? Like, obviously we have to live in a house. We have to have clothes that need to be washed. We have to have dishes to eat off of. But like, what if I just went really crazy and got ruthless with what was taking up my time and my space? And like, just there wasn't really anything to maintain. And so I was so excited about that idea. And it wasn't like, this was, you have to think too, this was like 9 years ago. So minimalism wasn't like a thing. There were not like books and documentaries. Like, I didn't know it was even called that. I just had an idea. And I like finished my day, like fed the kids, got them in bed a little early, and like went into their playroom. And it was like, I went to like through the night, like into the middle of the night with like trash bags, and just was like putting stuff in the bags to donate and like throw away, get rid of. And I went like through their whole toy room. I did a little bit of like some other areas of the house, but focused on that toy room because it was like these kids, they're so little. They don't know what's going on. And they've got this giant space in the house that you can see from the kitchen, from the entryway, from the living room, that's full of bins that are full of toys that no one even freaking plays with. Like, it just felt so annoying and in the way and unnecessary. And so I just went in and like, I left their favorite things. I left like what they actually played with, what they looked for if it went missing, you know, those kinds of things. And what I felt was going to like open up their imaginations, and toys that didn't like do all the playing and imagining for them, like things that caused them to build and like dress up clothes, things like that. I left those things. And, I just went all night. I barely slept. And then I just was like, I'm going balls to the wall here. Like, I'm going all in because I am desperate. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like terrified, like that the kids were going to, obviously they were going to notice, but that they were going to like not play or freak out. And everything was like bagged up in the garage. And I got them breakfast, sent them into the playroom to play like I always did. And my toddler was like, oh, like it's clean. You know, she noticed. And then they just started playing, and they were like 4 and 2 or 3 and 2. And they played in there for 2 hours uninterrupted. Do you understand? Like at that age, that doesn't happen. And then it just kept happening. Like obviously they didn't play in there alone for 2 hours every day, but they were playing better. They were playing for longer periods of time. And I didn't know it at the time, but kids actually do really, really well when there's less stimulation, there's less options. They don't do well with like too much. And there's studies that back that up now, which is awesome. But, I purged the toys in the middle of the night. I kept going. I like late night purging the house, and just my life got lighter and lighter and lighter. The more I removed, the more I actually had. If that makes sense. And that was where it started.
Oh, I love that so much. Cause I remember, like, I think our kids might be close to the same age. Like I have older ones. So I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And so our 10-year-old still has like the American Girl dolls and stuff like that. Like some of the stuff that she's held on to. But even just this past year, she was like, I'm done with my Barbies. We can get rid of this big dollhouse. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like, let's go. And so, I remember that when they were little though, and like, the exhaustion of cleaning up the playroom, like, and like the anger that would come with it. And I'm one of those, somebody asked me recently, I'm an Enneagram type 9. So somebody asked me recently, like when I get frustrated, or like how, like kind of like that thing in parenting, like what riles you up in parenting? And I said, the worst thing that riles me up in parenting is cleaning the house. Because I'm like, we're all a bunch of slobs, and you're dirty, and you're dirty, and why is this the way it is? And I'm like, why does cleaning my house make me such a monster? And so why does cleaning my house make me such a monster, Allie?
Okay, so this is my favorite thing to talk about, and I'm glad you brought it up in that light. And like, thank you for being so honest, because this is the thing that I want people to understand. It's not you at all. It's actually just kind of like I like to explain it, like it's really just math. Because think of like, let's do this exercise together. This is in the book. Let's do this exercise together. Think about like, even like, I don't know if you're at your house right now. It looks like you are, but like, look around, like maybe like just in your mind's eye, like think about the rest of your house, not in the room you're locked up in right now to record this. Like your closets, your kitchen, your bedroom, your closet, you know, the garage, like that's usually not a great one for a lot of people. Just think about your house. Think about like every old trophy you've kept, every photo album, every sock, every shirt, every pair of pants for everyone in your family, every bra, every hair dryer, every hair tie, every bobby pin, every water bottle, like every item, every single thing, just because it's taking up mass now exists in your house and also is taking up some amount of your time. It might be half a second. It might be a minute, but everything, just because it's taking up space, is by nature also taking up some of your time. You have to move it out of the way. You have to pick it up and use it, or you choose to pick it up and use it. You have to dust it down. You have to put it away when someone leaves it out. But everything, your toaster, your cups, everything is taking up some amount of your time. And all of that stuff, like, that's a lot. I think in the book, I need to write this down and have it out all the time, but in the book, I actually did the math on just, we just focused on the toaster. Like something as inconspicuous that you have to have, like the toaster, takes up like, I think it was like over 2 hours of your time per year. And that's just your toaster. Like think about every single thing. It's not you. Like, of course you're overwhelmed. Of course you're always cleaning up. And then for most moms, they put the pressure on themselves to maintain everything. And like, even when you give your kids chores, you're still kind of micromanaging that they're doing it or not doing it. And so all the pressure's on you. And of course, because of societal expectations, the home is like reflecting the woman and for some reason, no one else. Like, why is that all on me? But it is. And we feel that because we are affected by our environment more than men. Studies back that up. So think about all of that. Like, it's not you, it's math. It's too much time. It's too much things taking up too much math and making you overwhelmed. Plus you've got your own expectations, plus society's expectations, plus like our families don't care as much as we do. And so it's just stressing you out. It's literally like they did another study where they did like the inner cheek swab testing cortisol levels as it related to how much stuff was in each person's home. And literally more stuff, more stress. Less stuff, less stress, lower cortisol, higher cortisol, the stress hormone. So, I mean, it's science, it's math. It's not you. You're not crazy. You're not bad at this. You don't need to like just reset and be better. It's too much. And it's very normal today to have a big house with lots of stuff in it. It's pretty and we hide it away. So it seems acceptable. It's fine. And to also have a garage, you hope no one ever opens the door to because it's literally stuffed with crap. And to also be paying for a storage unit every month. Like a lot of people do that. And we have the biggest houses and anywhere in the world. In America, we have the biggest houses. So we have a stuff problem. And just because of the way society is with motherhood, which I know you want to talk about that and I can go on about that forever, it all falls on us. And it's not right. And it's not working. It's causing mental health issues. It's really not okay. So when we deal with the environment first, like I've developed over the last 6 years-ish, an entire method for women to make their lives better and lighter. We start with a home first. That's why that's the first book that came out. Because when you can get to it at the root, when you deal with the environment before anything else, you are literally changing where you're living, where you're making memories, where you're working, where you're raising your family. You're changing that environment to work with you instead of against you. And if you can do that, then you actually have a supportive environment to go ahead and work on your mental health. Go ahead and start to do yoga, start to look at your calendar and get rid of obligations that you've always done for whatever reason. Like then you can start to lighten the load everywhere else. But this is why your house makes you such a monster, in your words, because of course it does. It's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I love this so much. So one of the things that I got bougie on this year for my birthday was we had a home organizer come in. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. And I know I could do this. I know I could have bought your course and walked through it on my own. And I didn't. I paid for somebody to do it.
Hey, you need like, look, women need to support themselves where they're at. And if that works,
And it was amazing. And it was fun because she came in. She was super sweet. She came in and she did like worked with us, like Jesse and I together. Like, and Jesse, my husband, is a hoarder. I think. I don't know if most men are. You can answer this for me because you've done more studies.
It's common.
Jesse holds on to so many things because I'm like, trash it, get rid of it, get rid of it. And I think it's because the more stuff that lives in our home, like you said, the more stuff lives on my brain. And so I'm like, get rid of it, get rid of it. And he's like, well, we might need that sometime. I'm like, we are blessed financially enough where if I need it again, I'll buy it again. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
So
like if that even happens.
So we were getting rid of stuff and it was just so freeing. And now everything is in this nice organized cabinet. Like it's all kind of labeled and good. And I went to buy a coffee cup the other day and Jesse said, where's it going to go? And I was like, oh, he said, or what's going out? Like one in, one out. Like, what are you getting rid of if you bring that in? And I'm like, oh man, I don't like that we did this together because now I'm held accountable.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Many people today are struggling with unprecedented levels of anxiety, hurt, shame, addictions, and more. Yet all these struggles aren't random. There are signals that, when answered, can pave the way towards a thriving life. That's why Ben Bennett and Josh McDowell wrote their new book, Free to Thrive. In it, you'll find hope as they share their stories of healing from trauma and abuse, years of wrestling with mental health issues, and overcoming unwanted behaviors. Through biblical truths, research from neuroscience, and practical tools, you'll discover a proven path to overcome what holds you back and become free to thrive. No matter your struggle, God has more for you. Get your copy of Free to Thrive today wherever books are sold, or go to freetothrivebook.com.
I love that you talk about like what we are dealing with as moms, like all of that. But then culturally, we're told that it's okay to be this hot mess express and that this is like an okay way to live. And you're saying, hey, no, there's a better way for us. So I want to hear why you think this hot mess mom stereotype is so damning to our culture and society right now.
Well, I think it really stems from the fact that this is happening, like that is kind of the winning view on motherhood. Like this is why there's Halloween costumes that are like mom and it's like a joke, like bags under her eyes, like no bra, like sweat. Like it's just like it's like motherhood is just this joke and everyone is subscribing to it. And the problem with that really, I mean, there's lots of layers to that, but the main thing to me is that you're telling women that this is the expectation and this is just what it is. So why would, like, I think about this a lot because I had my kids really young. Like Bella's 12, I'm 34 now. So I have started having kids really young. And I think about like now, if I was just looking at like what society says about motherhood, I don't think I would do it. It sounds awful. Like, yeah. Why would you willingly subscribe to like, yeah, sign me up. Like, it's just the whole like hot mess express, like it's praised that you're just like it show and it's always going to be it show and there's no escape from the showness of show. So like, why even bother? And then you're villainized, like in media, we see this all the time. The mom that like enjoys going to the gym and takes care of her health and eats really like well and loves herself and took a minute to straighten her hair or whatever. And like has like enjoys dressing herself and has cute clothes. She's always like villainized in the movies as just like, I don't know, like she's always like the in the movie, you know, like she is. And it's not, yeah. It's not right. Like it's just where we're perpetuating this image of this is motherhood. It's always a mess. It's always going to be a mess. And there's really no way out. And I think our society does this with a lot of issues, but for motherhood, it's really kind of toxic. Like we're just expecting and accepting that it's a mess, it's a joke. And if you, and then the other, so okay, the other part of this is, okay, so then in that, within that expectation, within that like societal agreement about being a mom, there kind of becomes this like camaraderie that occurs with amongst women that like, oh, like I'm such a mess. I can't remember the last time I peed alone or took a shower, like, oh, whatever, coffee till wine. And then it's 9, like all of that. And then they're like making friends in that, like we're friends because we're a mess. But then what happens is it's like a fake camaraderie based on each other's struggles rather than cheering each other on, supporting each other, brainstorming together, being women of action, being women of, no, status quo is not enough for me. It's not what I'm here for. So I'm not going to accept it. And I'm going to figure this out and go against what the culture is telling me because it's not working for me. I just think that when we settle for status quo like that, we settle for hot mess mom culture. We are just agreeing collectively that it's never going to be better than this. And if it gets better than this for you, you are now my villain because I'm projecting all of my insecurities onto you. That's what we do. So yeah, I have a big problem with that. I don't think it's right. Yeah. I don't think it's healthy. And I definitely don't think it's helping us raise the next generation very well.
Yeah, because I 100% agree with everything you're saying because I have friends who are like, I don't want kids because I don't think that I want to give up my life. And I'm like, I totally get you. I understand. Let me show you the good side of motherhood. Like, let me show you like the joys behind it because there are so many fun things, but also like I have a life outside of my children. And I think that that's a whole nother thing, like where we get our identities caught up in motherhood. And I think that perpetuates all of those same things that you're talking about. I want to talk about friendship with this because I think it's a really unique conversation that we can have. How can we have better conversations with our mom friends, cheering them on, saying you're a good mom, and stopping this negative like hot mess express? Like, what is some language that we can use to stop this? Do you understand? Is that a good thought process?
Yeah, I think too, like it's tricky because it's so socially acceptable to be a disaster and to feel like a disaster. And here's the thing, like motherhood is really hard. It is draining. Yeah. It's all consuming. It's all the time. There's not a break from being a mom. And really, like, do we really want one? Like, we like it, right. But it's a lot. It's just a lot. And it can feel hopeless. And so in that, the problem is, it's like we've all agreed that that's the only part of it, though. But then also like just like carpe diem and like soak it up because it goes so fast. Like everyone knows there's enjoyment. Like everyone knows that there's enjoyment and there's good in motherhood, but we've just agreed so hard that the tough parts are never going anywhere. And like, even like if when your kids are little, you're like, oh, like I can't wait till, you know, they get a little bit older and, you know, I don't have, they're not like crawling all the time. Well, when they're teenagers, it's going to be even worse. Like, just wait. Like every message about motherhood is hopelessness. So in our conversations with other women and other mothers, for me, like I go a lot of places where people that I'm not like wearing a shirt that says my URL. Like people don't know what I do or who I am. And these conversations come up like in front of me. Yeah. And so for me, like what I've done is I just listen. And I'm like, I see that. I see you. Really listen. Not adding in, because this is what a lot of the time what happens is you're kind of almost like one-upping each other with how hard everything is to like prove something, or I think it makes us feel seen. So we just kind of get carried away and we're adding all these negative things. And then the end message is just kind of like, oh yeah, it's just like, I guess it is what it is. And like, no, it's not. So when this is happening to me, I really just listen and saying things like, why do you think it is that way? Like I've had that too. Why do you think it is that way? Like, what could I do to bring the conversation? Like, I want to make the other person feel seen because my motherhood is really hard. Like mine doesn't go well all the time. It is a lot for sure. But I know that there's a better way and I've figured that out. And that's like what I do. That's what I'm here to do in the world. So what could I bring to the conversation to expand her mindset? Without teaching or being like, oh, I have a course, no one cares. Like this woman is struggling and she's stuck in the hot mess mom cycle. So listening to her and just kind of like, yeah, like I totally know what you mean. That's happened to me in this way and this way. Why do you think it is like that? And just having those conversations and then maybe adding like, you know, I really think like, I wonder if because as a society, we've just been conditioned to accept this, if it's kind of like re-manifesting in all of our lives over and over again because we've decided and we've just like accepted this is just how it is. And like, what would it look like if we didn't? And then I'll like maybe share a little bit of my story and like what I've been thinking about lately. And I just want to leave the park or, you know, the gathering or the party or wherever I am. I just want to leave that place and know that I brought light and I didn't perpetuate the darkness and perpetuate the stuckness of women even further. Like, I don't need to like preach to anyone or figure everything out. Sometimes I don't know what the answer is for her. But if I could just bring some lightness and cause their minds to expand beyond what they were when we got there, when we met and they started talking to me, then I think that that's what the world needs.
I love that. I think you're so right. And I think that there's just a few things that you like cycle through all the time, and that's making other women feel heard and safe. I think that there's a safety in like, hey, I really hear what you're saying. Like, why do you think that? And I think that that's something you do really well, even online and even with as you like share and everything. I just think it's a really beautiful thing. And one of the things we love here at Hot Coffee. I don't know what I'm saying. What we love at Super Coffee is making sure our friends feel heard, safe, and never alone. Like, there's the value in that. And I think that by kind of like asking questions, and that's something I love to remind people, like, ask questions. Don't one up, but like, well, why do you feel like it's that way? Well, why is your kiddo acting out? What's going on? Like, is there anything new? Like, instead of being like, oh yeah, that's just the age. Same. Or whatever.
Yeah. Or like, just wait till they get older. Like, it's so hopeless. And I think too, like, I think when it really gets down to it and we're at, you know, with other women and those conversations are coming up, I think what everyone is looking for is validation. And it is valid that you're struggling. It is valid that you don't have all the answers. Like, let's just validate each other without sending each other deeper into the rabbit hole of despair. Like, it's just going to be so hard. And like, we're just like all martyrs. And the more you're a martyr, the better mom you are. Like, let's just stop that part of it.
Yeah. I have a friend who just had a baby, and I said, I don't want to tell you that this part goes fast. I said, but they're only this little for so long. Like, hold them as much as you can. I miss them when they're that little. I said, but every stage is fun. Every stage has like so much fun in it. And I think if we talked like that, if we encourage like, oh my gosh, this newborn phase is a minute. But my 15-year-old said the funniest thing to me the other day. Like, encourage it. There's light in every season. Is there a little bit of darkness in every season? As far as I can tell, yes.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. But, and it's not even like, and then I think the way the pendulum could swing on the other end too much is like toxic positivity about motherhood. Like, that's not what we want. But let's, like I said before, like, let's be women of action. What could we do? Like, I think we give up our ownership and we give up our power in life so easily and so often, especially as women. And so like, what would it look like in your motherhood and in your home, in your relationships, in your space that you live in, to take your power back and realize how much say you do have and how much you can make, you can create and control your environment, and like, actually do that and ask questions about why are things this way? It doesn't seem like it's working very well. If it's not working, do something about it. Like that kind of mentality, I think, is just so much healthier than like, well, like, I guess if you have kids, it's just messy all the time. Like, it just is what it is. No, it's not. If it is, because you're saying it is. So stop saying it.
Yeah. Big, big fan of like, of knowing that our words matter. Okay, so we're going to read your book, Declutter Like a Mother. We're going to learn to declutter our homes. And then Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
How do we manage? What do we do? Like, what are your best tips for like, okay, so you've just decluttered and now what?
Okay, so it's funny because when I first, like, that story we started with, where like that first big purge, and I had kept going, like all the laundry, everything was like done and it felt so good. And then Christmas came shortly after that time in my life. And so I was kind of like panicked, like, is this going to undo everything? Because I didn't know anything. No one was teaching me this. So I was like, I just don't want to get a bunch of crap and like undo all of this. So, this is what I've, like, let's skip ahead. And like, this is what I've learned.
Please.
I approach holidays and birthdays with so much gratitude. We have very normal birthday parties. We do Christmas normally. Like, we, for a long time, we did the whole like three gifts per kid. Actually, we did that last year too. And it works great. It just like less from us, like intentional and really special, really great gifts, but less of them. And then they still get things from grandma and grandpa and all that. And like, it's very normal. But realize, like, the biggest thing you could realize is if you are obsessive over minimalism, it has stolen your joy. And that's the opposite of the whole point of this. So watch out for that. Yeah. And then also, like, just be grateful. People are loving on your family and loving on your kids. If you want to, like, maybe if you really are worried about it, or you just really, they don't need anything, have a Fiverr birthday party where everyone brings $5 for your kid instead of a present. Mm-hmm. Like, you could do that with Christmas. Who cares? Do whatever you want. Make a registry on Amazon. And when people ask what your kid wants for Christmas, tell them, here's a list. It's not rude. They asked. Yeah. Just what is going to work for you? And then when all is said and done, it's your house. If it's not working in your space anymore, there's no contract that says you can't get rid of it. Donate it to somebody who's actually going to use it and, like, move on. You're in control. It's your house. It's your space. It's your life. It's your time spent cleaning up. It's your kids. What's going to work for you guys?
I love that. And I think it's so wise, because it all comes back down to the joy of our lives, right? Like, if we're not finding joy in our homes, and I think 2020 taught us, like, we need to enjoy where we are, like, because we were stuck here. But it's like,
people realize how much joy. They hate their spaces.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you moved states.
Yeah.
Not because of that.
No, but I did realize, like, man, even this far into the journey, like, there's just always room to grow. So this isn't like a punishment, or like, you really sucked at this. Like, you really need to declutter. It's all just growing. Like, you're just evolving. Yeah. And as you evolve, ask yourself, what is worth coming with me as I evolve as a person? And sometimes that's physical things, not sticking around because you realize it's not worth it.
Right. And I just love that. And I think that, like, when clutter steals our joy and we take it to the other side, then we lose the joy in the holidays and in birthdays. And one of the things that we've done, and our kids get bigger, so, like, they get one present because they're so darn expensive, because the things they want.
Yeah, they want, like, technology and stuff. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, have fun opening your one present this year, because that's all you got. Which is also kind of like, it works. So I just think that there's so much joy to be found. And when we're actually finding joy in the things that matter, and in our daily walks and all of that, and like, but actually doing it, like, not just like, I'm joyful because I'm here and I'm supposed to be happy, but it's like, no, like, actually sitting and seeing joy in your daily life that you're not having to constantly pick up, or all of those things. So, in the book, you write about, like, the 7 steps, and we don't have time to, like, go through all of those, but I would just love to hear, like, a couple, like, what are some signs that our joy is being stolen?
Okay. So initially, for most people, when they come across minimalism, simplicity, just any idea, like, I don't even really like the word minimalism very much, but just any idea of, like, I'm going to start to get intentional with my space, then usually they're coming because their stuff has taken over and they realize that they're no longer the owners of their things. Their things are totally, like, in ownership of them and stealing all their time and energy, all that. So what happens a lot is they come from that place, they have the realization, they start to do the work, but then they get so obsessed. And this is, like, my problem with a lot of other minimalist simplicity teachers and the people that have really risen to the top in that space, is that they teach it with such legalism and so many rules. Yeah. And, like, I think that people really just want to be perceived as the expert. And you can be an expert without, like, setting rules for people that you don't even know. Like, I'm an expert in this, and I don't set rule. Who am I to tell you? I don't know what climate you live in, how many kids you have, what your personality is, like, what you do for a job. Like, who am I to tell you how many things to have? So when we start to obsess over, like, this is how many books you're supposed to keep, this is how many jeans you should have, it can get really, really tricky, because your stuff is owning you again. It's just in a different way, right? So that's a sign that it's stolen your joy, that you're, like, obsessing and you're thinking about it a lot. You feel like you can't enjoy shopping. You're really nervous that your child's birthday is coming up. Like, you're too deep in it, and it's become legalistic. It's become, like, a crazy, overbearing religion to you. Yeah. Like, it's not healthy. Another thing that's really common is the lack of graciousness for anything coming into your house. Freaking out when the kids bring home a bunch of school paperwork. Freaking out when grandma brings a present for no reason. Like, just it's almost like the energy of being really uptight and not being able to just relax and live your life. Like, you don't want this to become legalistic. You don't want it to steal your joy. There's lots of, like you said, there's lots of other things in the book, but I think those two are the really common ones that happen a lot.
Yeah, man, I love that. I think that that just, like, there's so many things that can become gods and idols in our lives. And sometimes stuff as good as this. I mean, we talk about that as far as like dieting and working out. Those can become like gods and idols, and we can worship them so much that we're unhealthy, even doing healthy things. And so I think that that's a great, great example of this in this world. You don't like minimalism, the word minimalism. What word do you prefer?
Well, I always say it because it's just what it is. Like, especially in the last like few years when it became really trendy, like that's just what people call it. It's really just like the intention of removing things that are excessive in your opinion. Yeah. But I guess I just don't like it because it has become such its own beast, and it's taken on all these stereotypes and other meanings, and they don't really, that's not how I live. Like, my house is not empty. It's not all white and perfect and like no character at all, where like everything is like the bare, like, I guess minimalism is now kind of considered having as little as possible. And I don't live like, I don't want to live like that. I'm just choosing. I'm aware. So I guess I just live more like simple, and there's no unnecessary, there's no strain on my energy and drain on my space and my time. Like, I'm in charge, and I'm really aware, and I'm checking in on it all the time. It's part of my lifestyle. Just like you mentioned, like health and wellness and all that. Like, it's like my eating and my health. Like, I'm just always checking in on that and seeing what needs work.
I love that. When I think of minimalism, I think of tiny homes. And when I think of tiny homes, I get stressed out.
Same.
But you guys lived in an RV for a while, right?
Yeah, we did the, I really wanted to try the tiny home thing, but we were like really wanting to travel a lot. So we just combined the two, and we got like the smallest camper that we could find and just renovated it and made it really cute and happy inside. And then we did for like 9 or 10 months. We lived in a tiny home, a little trailer, and we toured the country with the kids.
That's so fun. And I like, this one of those like dream things. We just actually took, we have a camper, and we took our camper from, we live in Austin. Well, just south of Austin. And we drove up to Gatlinburg. We were in the camper for 10 days, and it was just so nice. And you realize like what you need and what you don't need. And my husband was like, let's sell the house and live in the camper. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, let's wait. Let's wait until the kids are all grown up. Well, I can do it when
those are like, those are the situations like in that time, like it was definitely minimalism. Like, the name of the game was how little can we take? And that was fun. Like, it's nice, but not everyone, some people want to live like that. Like, they go on vacation and they're in an Airbnb and they realize like they just got by for a few weeks with just what they brought. And they're like, I want to live like this. But for me, like, it's just joy. It feels like I'm being forced, or I have to, because I'm Ali Casaza and I'm minimalism. Like, I don't care. I want options. I love clothes. I love getting dressed. Like, I want to have, like, my decorating style is not minimalist. It's very textured and layered and like kind of bohemian. Like, I'm not going to change that because of what someone else decided minimalism looks like. Like, it's all relative. And if it's not relative, then it's not working for everyone. And if it's not working for everyone, then it's not for everyone. And I think that this is for everyone. I think that mothers need simplicity more than anyone, and it's got to work for all of them.
Yep. I think you're right. I think simplicity works where minimalism, like that term, seems excessive. Like, and that's such a weird way to say that, because that's like very opposites, like excessive to minimalism. But it seems stressful. So if you're thinking like minimalism, that seems like I can't ever attain that. But like simplicity, well, that's easy to obtain.
Exactly. It's all in like the verbiage and the words. So I like to throw around different words and call it different things and interchange what I say, because different things hit different people differently.
Yeah. I love that. Allie, the last question I ask everybody is, we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun, or a time for everything. It's time for coffee right now, but what is it time for in your own life right now?
I feel like for me, it's like transition. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, just because of like where I'm at as we're recording it. We just moved from San Diego to South Carolina, And like our houses just got renovated. There's like boxes that just got delivered yesterday, like couches turned upside down and stacked, like nothing is normal. And so the transition stuff is really hard for me. And so I'm trying to learn how to like be that woman of action that we've been talking about. And like, what does it look like? And sometimes it's resting and actually not working on the house and like staying in a hotel longer than I thought because it brings me peace, and like learning how to be in transition in and like bringing in ease and flow to the transition and not just letting it be like such chaos. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. Those like twilight seasons, like that in between seasons, I really, really fight because it's nothing feels normal. Like it's not dark, but it's not day. It's not like this right now when we're recording is early August and school's coming. Well, I know that school's coming, so I'm fighting. Well, I don't want to start going to the gym at 5:30 right now because school's coming. Like, why can't I make a good decision for myself right now?
I know I think we all do that. It's almost like, it's almost kind of like all or nothing mentality wearing a mask. It really is that. It's like, it's totally all or nothing, like perfectionism or something.
Yes. And I would never say like, I struggle with perfectionism, but I would say like, well, I just have to wait. Like, it's just a few more. And I'm like,
I was like, why do I feel like that? I do that too.
Allie, thank you for joining us for coffee. Where can we find your book? Where can we follow along? And you have courses and all of these things that are going to help us walk in simplicity and peace as moms. But first, your book, which one, I know that this book has been like a labor of love. Like, I know.
Totally.
And I love your cover so much. And I know that that was a labor in love, like behind the scenes. But Declutter Like a Mother, man, what a fun title. Matches you so well. It's going to be out. When I'm setting this to record like the week it comes out. So it's like out now. And we can buy it where, like everywhere. At Target. We can actually buy it at Target.
You can buy it at Target. Yes. Anywhere books are sold. I know. I'm so excited that this is actually like finally going to come out. It's so important. And it's not just about clutter. Like, this is a book for mothers. And then we get super deep and then we get really like strategical and just like, let's like actually do this though. Like, what do you actually do? And I just feel like people shy away from that and don't say it because they're scared it might be wrong, or it's just hard. It's hard to write a book for everyone, but I feel like, I feel like that's what I've done and I'm really proud of it. So I'd love for everyone listening to go get a copy and share like what takeaways they got and like what shifted for them. Cause I think it's kind of laced with like a lot of little light bulb moments, you know?
I love that. And then where can we find you on Instagram?
On Instagram, just search Allie Casaza, and it's the account with the little blue check mark. And that is a really good place to go because it's kind of like a day in the life every day. And it's really like personable and chill, and we can kind of connect there. And I love Instagram. That's my favorite platform by far.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, Allie, thank you for joining us for coffee. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, and thank you for writing this book.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on and boosting me up through your platform. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so do you want to declutter like a mother? I know I do. Y'all, Allie's book is out now, and to grab your copy, you can head to the link in the description of this podcast show, or you can head over to itstimeforcoffeepod.com and grab it there where everything is linked in the show notes. Be sure to head over to Allie's Instagram and thank her for hanging out with us and for teaching us about friendship, motherhood, and decluttering. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.